Psalm 85 verse 6. Very, very sharp and very, very quick. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Will thou not revive us again? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigayanoth. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I have heard thy speech. I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Our subject this morning is the necessity of revival. The necessity of revival. And the objective is to understand, as it is, our generational need for revival. Understanding our generational need for revival. And second objective is understanding ways to revival. Why is it necessary to experience revival? Why is it so critical? Why is it so expedient? I am going to itemize 5 reasons. Generally today, the world is in a state of emergency. Reason number one, there is need for revival because the love and strength reduction reality of the end times. The love and strength reduction reality of the end times. The end time is characterized first by the reduction of love in the hearts of men. And next by the reduction of strength in the lives of men. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 12, he said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There is a reduction of love for God, love for man, in the hearts of people in the end time. There is an epidemic of passionlessness, which is the manifestation of love for God. Passionlessness. Zeallessness. An epidemic of apostasy, or a falling away from the faith. Because there is a bankruptcy of love in the end time. When you combine that with wickedness in the heart of men, heartlessness in the heart of men, lovelessness in the heart of men, wickedness of man to man, then we realize that the only thing that can introduce love back to the heart of people is the move of God, the move of the Spirit.
in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 5. He says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and in verse 26, Ezekiel 36 and in verse 26, he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. The Spirit of God is the only personality at this time that can soften the stony hearts in the hearts of people in our generation. Stony hearts that turn people into kidnappers and terrorists. Stony hearts that turn people into killers and abortionists. Stony hearts. It is the move of the Spirit that can soften the heart of men in this heartless generation. It is the move of the Spirit that can bring zeal back to the church, that can bring passion back in the heart of people. The move of the Spirit that can bring enthusiasm back into the heart of people. There is a reduction of love. But not only love, there is a reduction of strength. It translates into lack of strength. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1, look at what the scripture said. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1, it said, nevertheless, in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, perilous times shall come. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Just stop with the perilous times. Perilous times. According to scripture, one translation says strength reducing times. We are in the season where the strength of men is drastically reducing. Am I communicating at all? Give me that translation. Give me that passage from other translations. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1. One translation says, but understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times, times of great stress and great trouble will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. New Living Translation says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. This is one of the most explicit ones. He said, you may well know this too, Timothy, that in the last days, it is going to be very difficult to be a Christian. It is playing out. It is going to be very difficult to be a Christian. There are too many, many things. Young people are finding it difficult now to be Christians. Seasons of reduction of strength. One pastor I knew, we grew together many, many years ago. He's been struggling in ministry and struggling to get many things done. The last time I saw him, I said, you know what? You need to take this matter serious so ministry can work. I want to give you 7 to 8 hours of prayer in the Spirit every day. And do it for as long as you can, but maybe minimum of a month. And I gave him other such assignments. So that, you see, when a car is parked for long, you need much effort to tow it out and to make it functional and top range. That was the kind of thing I wanted to do for him. I said, you need to do that. Gave him other passage of scripture and then fasting schedule. Do this lesson. And then, after about 2 or 3 years, we didn't see. And then when we spoke recently, he said, you know what? I haven't gotten in touch with you. I haven't been in contact because that assignment you gave me, I haven't done it. Oh yes, it's more than that. See, he hasn't done the assignment. He said, it's very, very difficult. When it's 8 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. I said, all right, come, let's see again. Let us see if we can readjust. Maybe you can start with a week first, 7 to 8 hours, and just do it for 1 week. And then let's go from there. Am I communicating? Spiritual strength is reducing.
Pastors are finding it hard to fast. Children of God are finding it hard to pray. They are finding it hard because we are in strength reducing time. For the sake of that, we need the move of the Holy Ghost that will bring back to us again the spirit of might. We need the move of the spirit that will make you pray like you are drinking water. We need the move of the Holy Ghost that will make you study the word effortlessly, worship effortlessly, fast effortlessly, intercede effortlessly. We need the move of the Holy Spirit. Is God speaking to somebody here? You know what happened? When men sleep, the enemy so tears. So a major agenda of the enemy is to cause men to sleep. Sleep where fasting is concerned. Sleep where prayer is concerned. Sleep where study of the word is concerned. Sleep where living uprightly is concerned. Sleep where evangelism is concerned. Sleep where primitive Christianity is concerned. And when men sleep, the enemy is at work. The enemy works when men sleep. God works when men are awake. To whom did the angel appear when it was time to announce for the birth of Jesus Christ? Shepherds that were keeping watch over their flock at night. While others were sleeping, the shepherds that were keeping watch over their work at night. And let me make a demarcation. When it comes to faith, you can go to sleep and rest on the word, and God works. But when it comes to impact, you must be wakeful to work with God. Did you get the difference? When it comes to faith, you can rest on revelation. Like Peter slept, and then the angel tapped him. Like Adam slept, and then God took a rib. But when it comes to impact in life and destiny, you must be wakeful. They went everywhere and the Lord went with them. You must be wakeful. The shepherds that were keeping watch over their flock at night, those were the shepherds that the master visited. Not the shepherds that were sleeping somewhere and the flock was sleeping somewhere. Because it's possible to put the sheep to sleep so that you too can sleep. Oh yeah, the sheep have been put into the sheep house pen. And then the shepherd is sleeping till morning so that he can continue his work. But these shepherds were keeping watch over their flock even at night. There are many daytime shepherds today who are not nighttime workers. Who are not nighttime watchers. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Why is revival necessary? Revival is necessary because of the love and strength reducing reality of the end time. Why is revival necessary? Don't forget that translation from the Living Bible. In the end times, it will be difficult to be a Christian. Number two. Revival is necessary for the reason number two. The massive, destructive activities of the end time. The massive, destructive activities of the end time. There is a lot of activities of destruction that exist in the end time. The end time, the last days, they are loaded with massive destructive activities.
activities that give people an alternative focus. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah, or Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were marrying and giving in marriage. How many of you know that there are more distractions today than 30 years ago? Practical example. When I was a university student, there was nothing like mobile phone. There was nothing like we're on the internet. I mean, when you woke up in the morning, you prayed 1 to 3 hours straight. And you finished praying 3 hours straight, you went to class in the morning. Between break time, you are still looking for time to pray. In the evening, you retire back to the hostel. And then rested a bit, continue studying, continue fasting, continue tonguing. We did solemn assemblies 3 days non-stop. We'll be praying from morning till evening and just lock up ourselves. And there was nothing like, let me answer a text message. Let me check my status. I just received a call, or somebody just chatted me on Facebook. No WhatsApp. No Twitter. No Instagram. Nothing. Those days, spirituality was very hot. You didn't have a phone that would be ringing when you are praying. That will make you to think of picking the phone. You see, the devil knows that there is power in unbroken focus. He knows the power of the unbroken focus. Where he said, these people are one. The Bible in Genesis 11 verse 6. And this they began to do. And nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You cannot do, the most dangerous person on the earth is a focused person. Dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. So he introduces diverse distractions in order to usher people away from God and usher many on their road to hell. It is by the explosion of these distractions that pornography exploded. That all manner of things exploded. Am I communicating at all? Have you ever seen some little children around you before? Holding their mother's phone or father's phone or somebody. And they won't talk to you. The child does not bother that you exist. He doesn't know anybody is there. He's on computer game. Say hello to uncle. No. Say hello to auntie. That is, he is focused on something from childhood. He is hooked up and is going to go on like that if God does not intervene. He will move from that to something else and something else and something else until he comes to the point where you are there, he's not aware. God is there, he's not aware. That is why revival is needed to cause God to move in such a drastic dimension that will give us a focus that is stronger than the internet. We have it, and 60 to 70% of Nigerian population is the young age group. Anybody from 15 years old and all the way under 35 or thereabout. That's the 70% of the population. And then 90% to 98% of that percentage is on the internet. I don't know how it is in other countries. That is why the move of God is, that is why a very, very drastic shaking. That is why God will do something. Two things so drastic that it captures more attention than the attention the devil is giving to the people. My wife and I, when we traveled to Europe some time ago, we visited the Disneyland in France. I don't know where that man got his inspiration from. And I won't get into the details now. But how many of you know that Satan was in heaven before? And he saw heaven. He knew the beauty of it. How many of you know that anyone who gets any close to the enemy will reveal certain things to them? That is why unbeliever musicians become Satanists, some of them. So that he can give them some inspiration from himself that he had while he was there. You look at some flowers in that place and look at some sceneries in that place and some toys and some... You are wondering, is this earth? And then you see people in their multitudes on the roads from sight to sight, moving, trooping and trooping. And I stood and I said, oh God, it looks like Satan is giving these people an alternative to heaven. That after people have seen a thing like that, what will they say? Is there any heaven anymore? What can be more heaven than this? Does heaven really exist? When you say heaven, what are you talking about? Some people are telling me of who he is. I think I remember now, but I don't want to go into that detail. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have very, very distracting. You go to the internet, you get to some sites, Netflix and all of these things. Thousands of films that if you start watching from one to another, you won't finish in years. New ones are coming, even books. You won't exhaust it in your lifetime. And they keep giving you notification of a new one that has come. Everything is to distract a generation away from their maker. Oh my God. Oh my God. Keep them busy. Keep them uncomfortable. Keep them busy. Keep them comfortable without God. Keep them occupied from their creator. Keep them engaged from their maker. But beloved brothers and sisters, I announce today, I see a move of God that is coming very shortly, and it is here already, that is going to take the attention of our generation back to their creation, to their creator and their maker. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. You are believing that? Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. I said in our time, there was no separate youth church. Everybody attended adult church. In fact, from the age of 11, when we did a 3-day drive, I did a 3-day drive fast, we were already mixed together with the adults because there was nothing that was a different entertainment for youth. There was nothing that was a different attraction for youth. We didn't need that because there was nothing. Everybody had the same old rugged world. It was the most interesting thing there. You had children from the school, but that's all. The same raw fire. Any preaching that a 40-year-old was hearing then, a 17-year-old will hear it and catch fire and run as if you want to run to the mission field on the spot. But today, we have to have some things so that the youth can know that this is their own. Then they come with a different kind of dressing. We didn't have such different kind of dressing. They came with a different kind of dressing, different kind of look, and different kind of youth. We don't understand our own time. But I see God. I see. Now, you don't feel bad. You didn't originate it. You found yourself in that season. You didn't originate it. You didn't create it. And the youth of the world, we need to pull them. So, Paul the Apostle said to the Greek, the weak I become weak so I can reach. So, we'll do all we can to reach the people. We'll do all we can. But I am saying how we got here. and how there is the need for the rugged, old rugged revival that will bring people's alignment to their maker. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus, we are stepping there. You believe that? Shout the loudest, say amen.
Let me rush. Number three. And that is, to me, very, very painful. The multiplication of life reduction situations in the end time. Life reduction. It appears to me like as we approach the end of times, attack on human lives seem to be multiplying. Attack on human existence seem to be multiplying as we approach the end of times. It looks to me like the health, human health, is getting attacked with more strange ailments at an alarming rate. More strange ailments. At a very, very alarming rate. Forty years ago in medical school, doctor, I am sure that there are things you are seeing now as a practicing plastic surgeon in Europe that you never dreamt to see in those days. All of a sudden, everywhere, almost every hospital now has that dialysis machine. Because kidneys are failing at an alarming rate and they need to dialyze the kidneys and they need even kidney transplants. I never heard of one transplant while I was in the university, in medical school. I think that the dialysis machine just came new and I wasn't aware whether it was used once. That is to the extent to which, to me, kidneys were healthy then. And livers were healthy. And hearts were healthy. And bodies were healthy. Now people are maybe it's because you are not in my place, but the kind of messages I receive, someone just breathed his last now. Please pray, let them come back. All manner, brother, mother, father, relation. People I don't know, majorly. And to me, it is like rush as many people to hell as possible. Statistics, 56 million people die every year. That is more than the population of some two or three countries. Every year. I think there is, and I can tell you, there are many. That statistic does not include many of those in Nigeria. And that's because they are not recorded. Unrecorded kidnap deaths, terrorism deaths, armed robbery deaths. Underrecorded. Grossly underrecorded. Am I communicating? Averagely 2 people per second. So imagine, since you came here, that have gone to eternity. Almost a godless eternity. That is why God must move in a hurry. So that we can attack them, attack the powers of destruction that wants people to be buried without knowing Jesus Christ. Am I speaking to somebody here at all? That is why God, lift up your right hand and say, Father, revive your work in the midst of the years. We ask for the revival of your purpose in our days, in our generation. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Is anybody seeing the necessity of revival? Number four. Why is revival necessary? Because number four of the shortness of time versus what needs to be done. the shortness of time.
Time is short and work is much. In Joshua chapter 13 verse 1, God said to Joshua, he said, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed.
Joshua, your energy is not as it used to be. Yet, there is too much work to still do. You are old. You are about to expire.
The time is going. And yet the world is far from being reached. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 29. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 29. But this I say, brethren, that the time is short.
So it remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none.
The time is short. So don't let marriage be an excuse why you are not serving God. The time is short.
Romans chapter 13 and in verse 12. Romans chapter 13 and in verse 12. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness.
Revelation chapter 12 verse 12. Revelation chapter 12 verse 12. Revelation chapter 12 verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time.
Romans chapter 9, verse 28. For he will finish the work. That is why he has to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord do on the earth. Listen to this. The current population of the world as at 2023 is 8 billion 45,211,447. 8 billion. Of those 8 billion, 1.9 billion is of the other religion. 1.1 billion atheists, agnostics. Atheist is somebody who says, there is no God. Agnostic says, if there is God, I'm not aware, and I don't care. 394 million Chinese traditional religion. 300 million primal indigenous religion. African traditional religion, 100 million. That number is too low. Only Cameroon and Benin Republic and Togo and Nigeria and can make up that number already. And Ghana, especially Ghana. These are all people who have no knowledge or idea that is God, that there is a God who must be reached. If you go to a place called India, India has the population of 1.4 billion. Out of that 1.4 billion, almost 1 billion are Hindus. And you keep on going and going. All of these people, I can't even go on now. All of these people must be reached. And yet the time is short. So the only thing that can make this happen is a revival. Where somebody here steps into India, and under 1 week, there is such a tornado, a commotion, a Holy Ghost commotion. Hey! Ay, 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 ay. You just stepped in there. Fire is burning everywhere. From Hyderabad to Mumbai to Bangalore to every corner of India. And before you know it, from corner to corner, under 7 weeks, 500 million people coming to the Lord.
Only revival can do that. Traditional mission can't do that. You step into China with your atheism, and fire erupts in the land. You step into your community and fire erupts. Into the city where you are now, fire erupts. Only revival can do that. Lift up your right and say, Father, Father, I am ready. I am available for your move in this end time, in my generation. Father, give us the move of your spirit that will change our generation. Finally, take your seat. The fifth reason why revival must happen is number five, the overtime agenda of the enemy in the earth. I called it overtime agenda, where we talked about the devil is doing overtime in the earth. He said, where we read in Revelation 12:12, the devil is moving about, racing, doing so much, because he knows that his time is short. Did you hear what Dr. Miss Becky Nenche told you when she was preaching? That there are zip brownies or whatever they call it. There are chocolates now that the children, they buy for children that has Indian hemp inside. Huh? You are licking it. They are licking it. Oh, it's tasty, it's sweet. And it's making them tipsy. And they enjoy the ecstasy. They grow up to get hooked to cannabis, to marijuana. Eh? Some come installed in pens. Do you know that? There is something they call electric cigarette now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil has multiplied his effort. Do you know that behind what they call COVID is devil? Pure devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Between the church and the cinema and the market, which one was the first place they asked to shut down? The marketplace was there. Market was open. Market where there is no control. Where anybody can do anything. Market was open. Churches were ordered to be closed. The first thing. That is pure Antichrist agenda from the pit of hell. How many churches in America closed down that did not open? 38,000. That closed down, and after the lockdown didn't return. 38,000. That's what I'm hearing just now. There are churches whose attendance has not yet returned to 85% of what it was before COVID. It has not returned back. Especially in America. In Netherlands, she's from Netherlands, she's telling me the truth. 80% of churches have gone below 100 in attendance in America. COVID. Satanic handwork to run people away from God's presence. Run them out of church to hell. That is why we need revival now. To counter fire with fire. For your information, they are planning another pandemic for 2025. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? That is why we need a move of God. We need a move, a drastic move of God. A drastic move of God that will overrun the earth and send the devil back to hell where he belongs. Because as long as we are in the earth, we have been designed to be in charge here.
Is it not surprising to you that what they call the gay agenda is spreading like fire now? Is it not surprising to you that most Western countries want to partner with Africa on the basis of legislating gay in their countries? I can say many, many things here, but I'm on a public platform. I'm excited with the stand that Ghana is taking, especially with their parliament. Very forceful and very aggressive. What was it that destroyed the first world with flood? The sons of men saw that the daughters of men, sons of God, saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they went into them. Immorality, iniquity, it destroyed the world of Noah. What was it that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? It was sodomy, man sleeping with man, and so on and so forth. And God said, I can't see this. So the devil is trying to make God to shut down the earth, even before people are saved. You know, I have countries that have legalized same-sex marriage here in the world. Estonia, in 2024, they will finalize it. They did, their parliament approved it for 2023, and then they will legalize it. Andorra, 2023. Cuba, 2022. Slovenia, 2022. Chile, 2022. Mexico, 2022. Countries that have put into law that man can marry man. Switzerland, 2022. Costa Rica, 2020. Northern Ireland, 2020. Ecuador, 2019. Taiwan, 2019. Austria, 2019. Australia, 2017. Malta, 2017. Germany, 2017. That is, man will go to court and wed man. Finland, 2017. Colombia, 2016. Greenland, 2016. United States, 2015. Ireland, 2015. Luxembourg, 2015. Scotland, 2014. England and Wales, 2014. Brazil, 2013. France, 2013. New Zealand, 2013. Uruguay, 2013. Denmark, 2012. Argentina, 2010. Portugal, 2010. Ireland, 2010. Sweden, 2009. You are not aware. Norway, 2009. South Africa, 2006. They said the South African parliament legalized same-sex marriage in the late November 2006. Nearly 1 year after the country's constitutional court ruled that previous marriage laws were unconstitutional, South Africa became the first country in Africa and the first country in the Southern Hemisphere to legalize the practice. Spain, 2005. Our challenge is that they are making laws and we are not aware. Many of us are in many countries where laws are being made and you don't. It is when it has finished that you are aware. Canada, 2005. Belgium, 2003. Netherlands, 2001. It was the second country to legalize same-sex marriage in late January of 2003. After parliament overwhelmingly supported a new law granting same-sex, that is country by country by country, until they say, until almost every country is man to man, woman to woman, man to animal, animal to woman. Then God said, time up. Those who are saved, come up. Those who are not saved, go to hell. Because God could cope with anything they did in Sodom. Until it became man to man. When they almost raped angels. And the people who came for Lot. The men came and said, bring them out so that we may know them. And Lot offered his daughter, they refused. He offered his daughter that are virgins. That is to show you the corruption of his own mind. It's his own, he called them my brethren.
He called the people of Sodom my brethren. Sodom is my brethren. Take my daughters. They are the same now. He slept with his two daughters. And they gave birth to children for him under the pretense of drunkenness. What kind of drunkenness is that? What sort of drunkenness is that? Are you following what I'm saying here today? Beloved brothers and sisters, our world must be rescued. These reasons, there are more. That is why revival must be now. Where gay people will come to the altar, and frankly speaking, I pity many of them. There are some of them, some, who are maybe agents of the devil, trying to make the agenda of hell to work on earth. But there are a couple of them that I think may be in the majority who have a demonic perversion inside of them that makes them have zero attraction to women. Zero. Zero. And 100% attraction to fellow men. I'm saying that because I've talked to a pastor who was in that problem. Yes. He came to me. He said he grew up when they were saying somebody liking a girl in class. He didn't like girls in high school. It was boys he liked. But he struggled and got married. But before he got married, he was looking for a job and got a job in a hotel to work in a reception or so. And he met another receptionist in that hotel. And he told the man, I don't know whether it is normal. It's only men I am attracted to. Can I be helped? And the man said, me too. That was how they got hooked. And began a gay relationship right there. From there, went and then just on and on and on and on. Pastor, it's a big church that the name you know, the pastor in the location. And yet, he was still young men around him walking as pee or anything were not safe. Somehow God helped him. He got married and had three children. But he said for the last 3 years, he has not neared his wife. And his wife understands, but she is concerned. My heart went out for him. I said, this is not somebody wanting to do wrong. This is not somebody wanting to be pervert. This is somebody who is literally possessed. Something is wrong with him. I placed him on a fast, brought him and his wife to this altar. Laid hands on him. After that encounter, two or three of such, my mind changed towards many of them in terms of what led them to do that. So it takes the power of God to break them loose and correct that perversion and give them a reorientation. And that... You can't castigate them to change them. You cannot criticize it to change anything. You can't be angry at them to change it. It takes the raw power of God. They'll all be delivered. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't hate them for them to change it. No. To change them back to who they are. That one is the demonic one. The one where they inject somebody who is a man to start behaving like a woman. And so on. Those ones are just desperate demonic things. Am I communicating at all? Lift up your right hand and say, Father. Say it louder, say, Father. Say it louder, say, Father. We ask for revival. Revival. The move of your spirit in our generation to arrest satanic overtime in our generation. Stand up on your feet. Stand on your feet. I have much to say, but time is up, and then we have been here for since 6 o'clock, and which means that you woke up around 5 or something, so we'll be not for a long time. Matthew chapter 9, look at Matthew chapter 9 verse 6. You can't hate them to change them. The same with lesbians. There are married people who have lesbian girlfriends and vice versa. I'm looking at verse 36, Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What did he say to them? Verse 37. Then said he, his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his field. There are two things that I want to give you as keys to revival. Number one is alignment with the passion of the master. Alignment. The first thing he did was to give them his passion. What is bothering him? The harvest is plenteous. These people are just plenty everywhere, and they are all going to hell. Alignment with his passion. Alignment with the passion of God. Alignment with the passion of the master. Somebody will need to say, Lord, what is it that is bothering you? Place it in my heart. Place a measure of your burden. You remember some time ago I told you the prayer I had Bunky prayed for me. I need a portion of your passion. Help me feel what you feel, a little of it. Plant in my heart a little of your burden. Minister without passion is minister without unction. Because your passion determines your unction. If you can come to the point where you are, you have such a connectivity with God, where he shares with you what bothers him concerning your nation, concerning your city, concerning his body, his church. He shares with you. Then you will walk in the realm of passion, of unction. That will amaze you. Somebody will pray this afternoon, Lord, drop a little of your passion, a little of your burden. And how do you get his passion? By placing your ears on his heart. By doing what? Placing your ears on his heart. Making your ears to hear his heartbeat. Placing your ears on his heart. John the Beloved, that was him. John chapter 13 verse 23. There was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That was the one they were asking. Who is he that will betray the master? Who asked the master for us? Ask him for us. When Jesus died and he was crucified on the cross, see what happened in John chapter 19, verse 26 to 27. John 19, 26 to 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, that is the one that put his ears on his heart, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Write this down. God commits things that are close to his heart to those who placed their ears on his heart.
Say that again. God commits things that are close to his heart into the hands of those who places their ears on his heart.
If you can place your ears on his heart to feel his heartbeat, the things that are dear to his heart, he commits them to you. That was how he told the disciple, I am going, but I can trust you with my mother. Because we are close.
He commits his burdens to those whose ears are close to his heart. Lord, let me hear you. That was what he did with the disciples. See the harvest, it is plenteous. Laborers are few. I am bothered, I am concerned. Then pray. That is our number two key. Alignment with the passion of the master. And number two is engagement with the task of intercession. Engagement.
When you get the passion, the natural thing to do is to proceed in intercession. Lord, is this what is bothering you? I will commit it in prayer. Engagement with the task of intercession. All that is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. And you know, after they had prayed, the next chapter, can you go on? Keep on. Matthew 9, 36, 37. Go to the next verse. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go to the next verse. That is chapter 10 verse 1. And when he called his 12 disciples, he gave them power. When you get the passion and you engage in prayer, the next thing you get is the power. Do you understand? He gave them his passion, pushed them into prayer, and then handed them power. To effect the passion. Many times the prayer you pray, God will use you to answer it. He was saying, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Then they became the laborers. It is from passion to prayer, from prayer to power, and power to possibility. Anything is possible. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new season. Somebody say passion. Say prayer. Then say power. Then possibility. Say passion. Prayer. Power. Possibility. Stand up on your feet. Very, very simple. Lord, is anything bothering you? Yes. I am concerned that there are too many drunkards in this land. And on Sunday morning, they don't go to church. All right. Father, I break the demon of alcoholism, the dragon of drunkenness, the demons of addiction. And after you have prayed that for a while, he said, now take power. Go for them. They will quiver before you. They will crumble under your voice. You will never get power in the area where you don't engage in prayer. Power. Answers to prayer. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands everywhere here today and you begin to just thank the Lord for what you received? We'll round off within the next 7 minutes, I think. Lift your voice and just thank him for what you just received. Thank him for what you have received today. Honor him, adore him, worship him. Shut it. In the name of Jesus.
Place your hand on your chest, on your heart, and pray with all the fire you possess.
Father, I am available. Fill my heart with your passion. Please feel free to take any position you want. Any position you want. Father, I am available. Fill my heart with your passion, with your burden, with your concern. Whatever is your passion, whatever is your burden, whatever is your concern, what you want me to know, what you want me to do, what you are concerned about regarding my generation, regarding my nation, regarding the church. Fill my heart with your burden. Fill my heart with your passion. Fill my heart with your concern. Lift your voice and speak to God. In my heart, place your burden in my heart, place your concern in my heart. Mashada gaya da gaya la la hurai. In the name of Jesus. Now you are going to move to intercession. All the things you have heard, anything you remember, just go ahead and talk to God. Lord, I pray for your move on the earth today. I pray for the explosion of the end time move of the Holy Spirit. In the city where I am, in the nation, pray for the city where you are, pray for the nation where you are, and pray for our generation. I am praying for the move of the Spirit. Bring, send us revival, send us your move, send us your anointing. Open your mouth and pray. ahead and pray, 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 pray. Go ahead and do so. Lift it up in prayer. Hold it, drop it. Speak. Make demands. Revival in that nation. Revival in that country. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Everywhere you are, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Lift your hands now and get set. Get set, get set, get set for his touch, get set for his move, get set for the move of the Spirit. He's about to give a deposit of passion, a deposit of grace for intercession for you now. Lift your hands.
Move over me. Move over me. Spirit of God. Move over me. Everybody say. Over me, over me, move over me, move over me, see it move over me, move over me,
right now.
All over me.
Lift up your hands and just get set to receive. Never before. Fresh burden like never before. Fresh prayer fire like never before. It's coming upon you in double barrel unction. Fresh, fresh. Fresh passion like never before. Fresh prayer fire like never before. Be released upon you right now. Are you ready? Lift your hands. Father, let it flow. Let it flow. When I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream fire. That is the fire of passion and the fire of prayer. And when you scream that fire, you place your hand either on your chest or on your head or on yourself and begin to pray in the spirit at the top of your voice. Father, let the passion, the fire of passion and the fire of prayer be released right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. Fire! Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire.
Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive fresh fire. Receive fresh fire. That's right. Have him there. Have him there. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire of passion. Fresh fire of prayer. Fresh fire of impact. Receive it now. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now.
Tomorrow, please, we should be able to have the flags of every country that we have on the registration so that we can place those flags on the altar and make demands on God. You are in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins. You are saying, Pastor, I need prayer. I need Jesus to be Lord over my life. I need forgiveness for my sins. I need today to be a new day. Quickly, can step forward and let's receive you and pray for you. I'll receive those people on their right hand side, which is on my side here. But any other person here today, God encountered you in this service, and it is something that you think the rest of us need to hear. I give like the chance to 2-3 people.
to let us know something that happened, something that dropped for you, and something that happened here. Quickly, and then we shall be through to be back. At least you have up to 5 hours of break. That is Christmas. Hallelujah. That is Christmas. From now till 5:30 is Christmas. It's not usual. Hallelujah. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir. While you were praying and the administration was on, as we were blowing the instrument, I was caught up. And everybody in the hall plus the altar were soaked in water, rain. So I thought I was outside. By the time my eye opened, I was still in the church here. As the God everywhere was soaked in rain.
There is a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Get your hands and be a partaker of that rain yourself.
And you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as my precious jewel, not to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all in all. You are my strength, Lord. You are my strength when I am weak. You are my treasure, but I see. You are my only all. Seeking you, Lord. All the precious gold, not to give up, I'll be after. You are my own.
Sing Jesus. Jesus. You are the Lamb. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I receive salvation. I receive forgiveness for my sins. Help me to live for you, to do your will. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for this mother. I ask that you lay your hands on them.
Out! Dead spirit. Go! Dry up, dematerialize. Disintegrate, leave.
The name of Jesus. Command your mind and your life to be whole. In Jesus' name.